Please remember that when play is in progress, pucks will leave the ice surface at a high rate of speed.
He shoots and scores! Both get the game tie goal! Pretty fly for a white guy!
This is the Avalanche, his first look at the Rats.
They added more staff for this game tonight. 25 people are out there gathering them in.
The Florida Panthers are proud to select from the Kingston Frontenacs, Eric Goodbranson.
Jonathan Huberdeau.
Quinton Howden.
Nick Bukestad. Dmitry Kulikov.
You're listening to Rat Trick Radio.
Welcome to Rat Trick Radio, the official podcast of the RatTrick.com, which is the New York Times of Florida Panthers news and information. We are so excited tonight. We have a great show coming up, talking to Winter Classic. Get a chance to talk with Scott Mellenby. We got the ex-Panther Factor coming up, and of course, Inside the Numbers. And speaking of Inside the Numbers, with us tonight is my good friend and yours, David Lasseter.
Hello, Josh. Hello, everybody. Hello to the rest of my team here. Happy to be back in 2012. A few days off for the Panthers, a little bit of time to get healthy, and looking forward to a healthy new year for the Florida Panthers.
For sure. And of course, with us, as always, the senior editor of the RatTrick.com, Frank Rikus.
Good evening, everybody. How's everyone doing? Good to start off the new year with a couple games back-to-back. And looking forward to a nice little run here before the All-Star break. And then hopefully by then everybody will be healthy and we can make our big push for the playoffs.
That's right. This is our first show of 2012, and what better way to celebrate by our guest host today, Paige Lewis.
Hey everyone, how you doing? Just got back from the Winter Classic a couple days ago, and I'm excited for these back-to-back games, New Jersey and New York. Hope everyone had a safe holiday.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and start off talking to you, Paige, because obviously you got to have quite an experience this week going to the Winter Classic. Why don't you just kind of walk us through the whole experience, how you got the opportunity to go, what it was like to go. You can just take some time, walk us through the Winter Classic.
Honestly, I had no idea that I had no idea I was getting this for Christmas. I told my boyfriend, you know, I hate surprises. This is what I want. That's it, you know. And so I get this little box, and the next thing you know, it has two Winter Classic tickets. I screamed, I cried. My mom took a bunch of pictures of me just bawling my eyes out because I actually was supposed to go last year, but I had no one to go with. So, but my boyfriend was generous enough to get me these tickets, and we ended up going. And honestly, it was probably the best experience I'll ever have in my life. I've been to countless of playoff games with Pittsburgh and Montreal or Pittsburgh and Tampa, been to Boston games, like, but nothing will amount to this. It's just everything in the game, the atmosphere, the people, and as much as I cannot stand the Flyers and Flyers fans, you got to hand it to them. That is a great crowd. 47,000 fans, like just diehard fans, all like myself. It was incredible.
Is it really cold at the Winter Classic? I mean, it looks cold. It looks like everyone's
okay.
Cold.
I kept telling my boyfriend, I'm like, you know what? It's not that bad. It's only 39 degrees. Okay. When you're sitting in section 303, which is a little ways up, but perfect, like for, you know, actually viewing the game, it is freezing. I had my scarf covering like most of my eyes, my nose. My boyfriend had to go buy gloves. Everyone's, oh, it was so cold, but it made it that much like cooler, you know. So
now, obviously, I've never been to a Winter Classic live, though I'd like to go to one here in the near future. But what is it like as far as being able to see the game? Because obviously, at home, it's just like watching any game on television. They got the close-up camera views, but obviously, you're much farther away than you are in a normal arena.
I would honestly, I've seen all four Winter Classic games on TV except this one. And I no doubt I'd rather go see them live every time just because, you know, it depends on where you're sitting. And I got lucky. Although I had like pretty high up seats, I was in right field. So I had the perfect angle of it. And just when you're sitting next to people who are Ranger fans, you even had Washington Capitol fans and Devils fans and Dallas Stars fans. And, you know, it's just like everyone just comes and travels and gets together. And there really wasn't that many fights. Like, people weren't really that rude, shockingly. But like, you know, everyone was just friends, and it was just such a fun atmosphere because everyone was high-fiving each other or booing each other, or, you know, like, Ryan Callahan sucks, and it's like, or like, Kimmo Timonen sucks. And it was a lot of fun, and it was great to share it with a bunch of people who either hated the Flyers or hated the Rangers or, you know, didn't really care. It was a lot different than sitting there with a, you know, bag of popcorn and watching it. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
What about the game itself? Any highlights from the actual game that you just found really fun or interesting?
Well, the first period was kind of just like, okay, back and forth, you know. Lundqvist obviously was a god as usual. But the second period, I get anxiety, especially when I hate a team so much, since I just despise the Flyers and they were doing so well. Braden Schenn, to see his first NHL goal, that was really cool. And I'm sure that was really cool for him. But the highlight of the game for me was probably the penalty shot. Not to mention, I mean, I was pretty much turned around in my seat because I was just biting my nails. But just to see how badly the refs called everything, that was probably my highlight. Because you can tell they were just favoring the Flyers so much. Because, you know, they want to make it a game. They want to make it an interesting game. Because I know Lundqvist will stand on his head and save anything. So it was funny because, like, we kept saying, like, oh, watch, there's a penalty going to be here on Ryan McDonough for nothing. And we were right. And so, like, those are the highlights of my games. Just to see the terrible reffing. And it really is, it's no different than any other game. It's just outside and colder and so much funner.
Now, did you agree with Tortorella's comments that afterwards? You think that NBC was trying to create some drama?
I didn't even hear. I don't even know what went on. What happened?
Oh, well, Tortorella said after the game that he thought NBC had called up the refs and told them to delay the game for overtime.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I kind of agree with him. I thought the reffing was horrible. It was horrible. I mean, I don't want to get in trouble for this, but in my opinion, it literally looks like the refs were just like, all right, let's screw over the Rangers and let's tie this game up. Because I agreed with the Briere penalty shot because, yes, McDonough did cover the puck in the crease, but, like, the McDonough delay of game and the Ryan Callahan when he apparently grabbed Kimmo Timonen's stick, no chance, you know? Like.
Nah. No, in a regular game, that doesn't get called.
That does not happen because Kimmo Timonen clearly interfered with him, and Callahan, he didn't knock his stick down. Like, he did, but it was completely, you know, unintentional. But I would agree that literally, I think it was, my boyfriend would say that it's just the refs, you know, but I would say it's more for reffing and the TV, you know, and to make TV look better.
Of course, Tortorella got fined $30,000 by the league for his comments. And, you know, it's crazy. But let me ask you this, Paige, and maybe some of the other guys can weigh in too. But these Winter Classics, this is, you know, we've had several of them now in a row. Is this starting to become something that's not as exciting anymore, or is it becoming more exciting?
No, I think it's becoming more exciting. I mean, I'm excited to see who the next, like, you know, who the next two teams are. I think this is a great thing because this is how hockey began. This is what hockey was originally. It was outside. This is how a lot of the Canadians, you know, they used to play hockey. My boyfriend used to play pond hockey. And, like, it was just so cool to see that and to see his reaction and to see snow falling, you know, because this is what hockey truly used to be. And I know the players love it. And, you know, I mean, I know we live in Florida and I really highly doubt that that's ever going to happen. But it would be cool to see our boys do that because most of them are from Toronto or most of them are from Vancouver or somewhere in Canada. And to see them go back to their roots, I think it's great. And I think it should continue happening.
What about you guys, Frank? What do you think?
Well, I think that every player would want to participate at least one time in something like this because, you know, like Paige says, it is back to the roots. It is how they grew up playing the game, playing outside. And, you know, what better atmosphere to be in a game and say, hey, I was in a Winter Classic. And, you know, the other thing I like is the rivalry games that they're having. And I think it's just a great thing for you know, the NHL to do, as long as we just maintain it to one game a year, just like they're having it. I myself prefer it to be on New Year's Day, but, you know, whatever it is. But I think it's such a great thing to do, and I'd love to be able to go to one of these years, and who knows, maybe next year we can make it there.
Yeah, for sure. I think that not being on New Year's Day definitely detracted from it, you know, because I liked the excitement of waking up New Year's Day. You know, you stayed up late, and then all of a sudden you have this awesome thing to experience. But what did you think, Dave?
Personally, I love it. I think the NHL, because of the nature of the playoffs, doesn't have a signature event. You know, there's no Super Bowl. There's no one game we know is going to end at all, unless you get to, you know, start getting the game four of the Stanley Cup Finals. But even still, that's not necessarily the end. There is no one huge TV draw that the league has. The All-Star Game certainly isn't it. And the one thing that I love about this Winter Classic as compared to the All-Star Game is that this is a real game. There's hitting. There's all kinds of nastiness, especially when there's rivalries involved. The All-Star Game, everyone kind of goes around. Nobody hits anybody. And, you know, there's, you know, 20 goals at least. And that's all well and good as far as a show off, but as far as a big time television event, a rivalry game where the two teams don't like each other, there's 2 points up for grabs, the game counts. I don't think the NHL can do any better. They've been, you know, with the exception of last year, they've been very fortunate with the weather. This year, they actually really lucked out with the weather, starting to snow there at the end of the second and into the third. So, I can't get enough of it. I, like Frank, I've already started checking out hotels in Ann Arbor just in case Detroit gets that and they decide to play it at Michigan Stadium at the University of Michigan. I would love to go see it. You know, I'm sure it's very cold, but so what? It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime event as far as experiencing as a fan. So I love it. Bring it on every year. Like you guys all said, New Year's Day is the perfect time for it. Sometimes TV isn't going to allow for it, but that's okay. It didn't diminish it a whole lot for me.
Well, and yeah, I was going to say, you know, probably the worst kept secret in the NHL right now is that Detroit will have the game next year, and we're not sure where it's going to be, but the prospect of it being in Ann Arbor and having 100,000 people there. Paige, let me ask you about that, because obviously there was, you know, 40-something thousand people at this Winter Classic, but how much more so do you think it would be awesome seeing them play someone like the Colorado Avalanche in front of 100,000 people?
Oh, in Detroit?
Yeah.
Huh. I would kill to go to that game. I don't know. That's not like a big rivalry. That's the only thing. I mean, it's not like a rivalry I think of, you know, Detroit versus Colorado, but I think it'd be awesome. I just, I don't know. I just don't see Colorado as such like a big name team. So I don't think that'd be too much fun for me anyway. I would like to see, well, I was just about to say, I'd like to see Detroit and Chicago, but well, that already happened. But you know, I'd like to see like, I don't know, like Detroit, LA, something like that. Either way, like Colorado, it'd still be cool. It'd still be an awesome game, but I would definitely love to see them play in front of 100,000 people. And I think they'd sell out like no other, whether it is Colorado, whether even if it's Columbus, you know, like I think no matter what that game, because it is Detroit and they have such crazy fans and because that stadium is so, you know, epic, I think no matter what, no matter who they play, Colorado, Columbus, LA, they're still going to do well.
Well, and of course, the rumor going around is that it's going to be Detroit versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. And
yeah.
Toronto, they've been known to drop a few dollars, so I have a feeling they could sell 100,000 tickets.
I don't know if I like Toronto. I mean, I like that's a cool game. That's an awesome. Those are two crazy fans, you know. But it's just that's the Heritage Classic, basically, but just not in Canada. You know, I don't know. I don't like the fact that Toronto was one of them. Personally, just because I give it a few years at least, because they just got rid of the Heritage Classic. They just got rid of, you know, the games where they played Canadian teams. I think they should kind of give it a few years. Let the American teams play first, get it out of the way, and then throw in the Canadian teams personally.
And all of our Canadian listeners, you can rant against Paige at Paige Lewis on Twitter. But that's good stuff. It's good stuff.
I love Canadians. Sorry.
Moving on to talking a little bit more about some Canadians. Guys, what did you think of the Montreal Panthers New Year's Eve showdown? Quite an experience this year. What were your take on that, Dave?
Oh, you certainly have to love beating a team whose fans have taken over your arena. I wasn't at the game, Josh, I know you were, but on TV it sounded like it was not even close to halfway. It sounded predominantly Montreal. And to win that game, especially after going down early and then coming back and scoring three in a row before giving up a goal with 30 seconds left, because the Panthers always have to make it interesting at home. I thought it was a great great win. It was almost a must win after the night before, where the Rangers put a good hurting on the Panthers. But also nice to see Thomas Fleischmann get back on track. You know, he's been a little bit off. Granted, some of the injuries have broken up that first line. So to see him get two goals is nice to see, because they're certainly going to need him going forward. And then the play of Sean Matthias to go out there and score that goal. He just continues his improvement by leaps and bounds. It seems like every week he's become a bigger factor. And also credit where credit due, Scott Clemenson, after getting yanked the first time that Kevin Denise had to yank a goalie at this level against the Rangers, comes in, fills in for Jose Theodore, does the job, closes the door, except, of course, that one late goal. But it's a great team win. It's a gutty win, especially they were down 1-0, and the home, the quote-unquote home crowd was behind the Canadiens. And perfect way to end the year, 3-2 win, sending all the Montreal fans to the exits unhappy, and getting to celebrate at center ice and wave to the fans who were there in attendance.
Yeah, for sure, and I think that watching the game and watching the enthusiasm of the Montreal fans, I think this is the first one of these New Year's Eve Canadiens Florida Panthers games that we've actually watched the Florida Panthers have a win. And so it was interesting to watch all of the Canadian fans go home sad, and it was a lot of fun to watch the team respond to the energy level in the building and come back and win. And it was a great experience, and I know that Michael Yormark said that there would be no more of these New Year's Eve Montreal games. And, in a way I'm glad, but in another way I kind of think I'll miss that, because it was a lot of fun to beat them in our building. What did you think, Frank?
Well, like Dave, I wasn't able to attend the game. I watched it from home, actually. And, part of me wished that I was there just because of all the excitement that was generated, but another part of me was kind of glad that I was back at home, because got to replay a few things myself, got to take a couple second looks at a few things, and it definitely felt like I was watching a game that was really being played in Montreal at the beginning, and especially when, the Canadiens went out and, took the lead. But I got to hand it to the Panthers and the way that they just keep coming back, and, their resolve or resiliency this season has been, something that we haven't seen in years. And, to respond the way we did, especially after Jose Theodore went down with the knee injury, and, Clemenson came in and pretty much shut the door down at that point. I was just very impressed with how the Panthers handled themselves there. It's always nice to send a Canadian team home sad and disappointed. And I couldn't quite tell if they left as early as the Leafs fans did the week before, or the couple days before that, I should say. But I enjoy beating them. I do kind of like the New Year's type atmosphere with them a little bit. And, like we've mentioned already tonight, that that probably is the last New Year's Eve game against them. I just hope, if we do have another New Year's Eve game, it does have that intense atmosphere, almost like a playoff atmosphere, I guess you'd probably say, at that point. And I hope whoever the next opponent is, it's going to be generating the same type of situation. But I love sending the Canadians home losers.
Well, and Frank, speaking of another Canadian team coming to town, why don't you give us a little bit of your own expert opinion on the Vancouver game coming up on Monday?
Well, this is going to be an interesting week, because obviously there are two teams coming to town that I can't despise more although you could probably throw the Red Wings in there. But Monday against Vancouver, Friday against Pittsburgh. And my point of view on the Vancouver game is this, and a lot of people may just be thinking that this is just a Western Conference team. You know, if we get 1 point out of it, that's fine. But let me tell you something. Chris Versteeg, Brian Campbell, Thomas Kopetsky, even a little bit with Jack Skilly, and certainly if he's in the lineup, John Madden, they all have a little bit of history with the Vancouver Canucks going back to the playoffs. So don't you think that this isn't going to be a tough matchup and there's not going to be some hard-fought battles and a little bit of chirping going down there on the ice? This is going to be a good game, and it's going to be bigger probably than, you know, your people who are listening might be thinking about. I'm really looking forward to this game. I hope the Panthers clean this one up. And Dave, I know you mentioned it earlier today on Twitter, and we kind of went back and forth a little bit about it. I certainly hope that the Panthers play Chelsea Dagger and a loop through warmups. And it's too bad that the marketing department can't go out and buy a bunch of tire pumps, because I think the first 20,000 fans ought to get some tire pumps in honor of Mr. Luongo himself. But I think it's going to be a good game. You know, Vancouver is playing very well. As of tonight, they're number one in the NHL with 53 points. You know, and they've got a lot of good players on that team. You know, the Sedins, Kessler, Burrows, you know, they're all good players, but as they've proven in the playoffs, they just have not been able to win the big one. But I'm looking forward to this game. I got a little bit of angst growing for this one, that's for sure.
And then, of course, we have another game coming up on Friday, and I figured, Paige, being that you're our resident Penguins expert, maybe you could preview that for us.
Oh, I don't even want to go. That's so hard for me, that game. It's just, honestly, I'm pulling for us for that game, for sure. You know, us as in the Panthers. Penguins are kind of falling right now. Not too much. Basically, if Washington wins the next game, Penguins are out of the playoff spot. Pretty much, if Washington and Ottawa start winning. But we always have a hard time playing against the Penguins, especially Brent Johnson has a great record against us. So if they play Brent Johnson, it's always a tricky one. But you know what? I think we can do it, especially if we're getting all these guys back. As you can just tell, Sammy and Gotch have been, you know, doing great this game. So I'm really, really hoping that everyone stays healthy, gets back by the time that game happens, so we could actually see maybe even a blowout against the Penguins, because that would be pretty cool to see. But as we all know, I do wish the Penguins the best as well, but not during that game.
All right. Well, I hope that they lose in a dramatic fashion, and hopefully the Panthers can continue to earn points and win. Which, speaking of winning, Dave, I want to talk a little bit with you about what is it like to be in January and be winning. I know for me it's just a kind of a crazy sensation to be winning at this point in the season consistently, and consistently having success and being at the top of the Southeast Division.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Josh, but also considering the number of, again, you know, we hate to harp on it, but the number of injuries, more than half the forward core was down for, I think, what, two games, including Steven Weiss, and To sit there and to go through the month that the Panthers just went through, and then going into this month, first place, Dave Lozo from NHL.com sent out a tweet today before the game against the Rangers that the Panthers have been in first place in the Southeast Division for 49 straight days. I don't think that's ever happened before, even going back to the glory days where they've been in first place for that long. You know, we've forgotten what the feeling of winning is like, but I can get used to it because it's pretty great right now.
Yeah, for sure. It's crazy to think that they've been in first place for so long. And just looking at how well the team is performing, that to me is what's interesting, is they're finding a way to win every night, and they're getting different contributors, and it's looking really awesome right now, to be honest.
It's great, but, looking ahead at the schedule, it's really not going to get any easier. You know, there's no Columbuses, there's no New York Islanders, there's no Carolina Hurricanes, there's no Anaheim Ducks coming up in the month of September. They play 9 games. They play 5 on the road and 4 at home. And every team that the Panthers play in the month of January, as of tonight, January the 5th, as we record this, every team is either in 9th place or higher. Winnipeg's in 9th place, 1 point out of the 8th spot. And Colorado, whom they play in the middle of January, is tied for 8th. So it's not going to get any easier. If you know the Panthers really want to prove to the rest of the hockey world that they are for real, this is going to be the month to do it. I think they can come out pretty good in that. You know, they'll go on the road. They'll play the Blackhawks. They'll play the Devils. They're playing the Rangers tonight. The home schedule is brutal. The Canucks, the Penguins, the Bruins, and the Philadelphia Flyers. All those teams are playoff teams. They're expected to compete deep into the playoffs. So, you know, if they're going to win this month, they've really earned their keep because this schedule for the month is brutal.
For sure, I agree with you. Hopefully they can keep on track and hopefully they can find that passion and that will to win and they can continue to work, because I think that's exactly what the key part of what this team has been is the desire and the implementation of work ethic and getting out there and doing what they need to do to get the job done. Speaking of someone who doesn't always do what they need to do to get the job done, let's go to a segment we like to call the X-Panther Factor.
12th captain of Vancouver Canucks, Mr. Roberto Luongo.
Looking good here to start this overtime. It's Jokinen closing in. His shot, he scores. Olli Jokinen does it again to the Penguins. The New York Rangers with a dramatic win here tonight.
Cut off in the left wing. Lord scores. Christian Husalius tipped it in front. That'll be a hat trick.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
All right, today's subject, and I know I've probably pinched a few nerves, and looks like Thursday seems to be the day that I do the X-Panther Factor. So I had a lot of fun doing this. It's about Roberto Luongo, and I could probably talk about this whole situation for a good hour, but in respect of time, I won't do that. We all know how he got here, a great trade with the New York Islanders. We kind of fooled Mike Milbury a little bit and gave him Mark Parrish and Oleg Kavasha.
It's
and,
not hard to fool Mike Milbury, just for the record.
This is true. This is true. Olli Jokinen and Roberto came over and had some, you know, some pretty decent years. I mean, I think Olli probably had the best years of his career with us, but in any event, Luongo is the subject tonight. He was here for 5 years, 108 games, had I think I counted like 26 or 27 shutouts, and developed here, but ran into the same contract stipulations, situations that Jay Bouwmeester did. And, you know, I will admit that he played on some bad teams here. I mean, the Panthers were awful. However, as it got down to his, you know, situation with signing a contract, did he want to stay? Did he not want to stay? What was going to be done? How much money did he want? I mean, at his age and for what he had done so far, he was asking for an awful lot of money. And the other thing is that the Panthers were willing to give it to him, but he didn't want it. Or he was making certain demands that he probably had no right making. And, you know, like him or not, Mike Keenan was not going to be backed into a corner. And I remember one of his comments saying, you know, he hasn't won anything yet and he's making all these demands on us. So in any event, Luongo goes to Vancouver. We don't like the trade because of what ended up happening with the players who we got back. Brian Allen was, you know, certainly a great guy, a serviceable defenseman. Alex Auld came over, was hurt, and Todd Bertuzzi came over and was hurt. And it just, that's what made the deal a bad deal. Luongo goes to Vancouver, and in his first year, makes the playoffs. The first time he's ever been in the playoffs, and as I wrote today, I think it was Game 5 against the Anaheim Ducks. I forget what round it was in right now, but it was in overtime, and for one brief second, took his eye off the puck because he thought there would have been a penalty, and winning goal was scored. Game, series, over. And that would probably start his playoff, whatever you want to call it, issues, problems, which just continued year after year against the Blackhawks, for two consecutive years was lit up like a Christmas tree by, you know, various players. The Patrick Kane hat trick closing out a series in 2008-2009. That was not the year the Hawks won the Cup, but the year after, Dustin Byfuglien firmly planted himself in front of Luongo on a nightly basis, got himself a hat trick as well. And, you know, the Hawks really just figured out a way to get under Luongo's skin. And he's had a great regular season run. You know, I give him credit for winning the games he's won up until this year, which he seems like he's kind of struggling a bit. But again, his playoff record is not all that good. And yes, he did win Olympic gold, but look at the team he had in front of him. Superstar players all around, offense, defense. He had a great team. And yeah, granted, probably took the job away from Marty Brodeur, but he almost lost that series, if people remember. I believe Team USA tied it up, you know, close to the end. In any event, you know, Luongo's most recent claim to fame is last year's playoffs when he actually was criticizing Tim Thomas. And, you know, you can read my post from today. All the details are there. It's all truth. I don't mean to pick on the guy, but, you know, the ex-Panther factor is supposed to be a fan's point of view about an ex-Florida Panther. And, you know, obviously, I don't particularly care for the guy, and I don't mean to get in trouble or, you know, upset anyone, but I don't miss him here. You know, Thomas Vokoun was a goaltender for us for 5 years, or 4 years, I should say. Technically would have won more games had he stayed longer. But Luongo's overrated. He makes an awful lot of money. You know, he was captain. I mean, how would you name a goaltender captain? It just doesn't make a lot of sense, at least to me. So Vancouver's stuck with him. He may have an unmovable contract. I don't know. Rumor is he may be going, or other teams are looking at him, but he has not gotten the job done when it counts. And until that happens, I'm still going to feel the same way about him.
Yeah, well, I think that what you had to say was very poignant, and I think that most of it was based on facts with a little bit of opinion mixed in there, but it was opinion that I agree with. I think that, you know, Luongo is who he is, and he did what he did here, but that doesn't mean that Florida Panther fans need to hold on some sort of attachment to him. Like you said, he never won anything for us. He never really did anything for us, and he is who he is. I think you made some good points there, Frank.
Well, thanks, Josh. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people who still have a fondness for him. Here, obviously, as well as in, you know, Vancouver. But facts are facts. Ask him how many Stanley Cups he has and how many chances he's had at getting them.
All right, now we're going to go to something that we like to call Inside the Numbers.
There's going to be 20, 30, maybe 100 of those things. And as soon as they know we're here, this place is going to be crawling with them.
I was 99% certain about you. But I had to get rid of that 1% doubt.
I was the intellectual equivalent of a 98-pound weak.
A2, A2, A2.
Listen, in order to maintain airspeed velocity, a swallow needs to beat its wings 43 times every second, right?
Something like 36?
Would you, boy?
Well, what is that anyway, something like 36? Does that include me?
Okay, Inside the Numbers, the first one of 2012. And with that in mind, we're going to kind of take a quick look back at the month of December and see how the big three, if you will, in the Southeast Division did. I say the big three because there's only three teams that are contending right now, Tampa Bay, Carolina. They've had their day. So let's look at this. The Panthers in the month of December played 15 games. They went 7-5-3 for a total of 17 points. Some huge wins in there. Think back to the beginning of the month, December 3rd. They beat San Jose on the road, down 2-0, I believe, in that game. They came back and won that game 5-3. And, of course, the biggest win of the Panthers season so far in Boston, that first matchup against the Boston Bruins, where they won 2-0 thanks to goals by Thomas Kopechky and Chris Versteeg, and a huge night from Jose Theodore. Low times in that month, of course, the thrashing by the Rangers in Madison Square Garden. I believe that was December 11th, 6-1. Any good thing that came out of it was Eric Goodbranson's first goal. And then, of course, going back to Boston, the last game before the Christmas break. I don't remember that one, so we're not going to talk about that one. Moving on, we look at the Washington Capitals. They played 14 games in the month of December. They went 8-5-1 to equal the Panthers' point total of 17 points. Of note, Washington, including their first game in 2012, have won four in a row. So the pressure is on from the team that everyone expected to win the Southeast Division and win it handily. So they, it looks like they've got themselves together under Dale Hunter. And for lastly, we look at – I must have written this down wrong because it says the Winnipeg Jets, but they are in the league. Okay, it's not the Thrashers. Okay. They played 14 games in the month of December, and they had a record of 10-3-1 for a total of 21 points. Now, the funny thing about Winnipeg's schedule is – if you're like me, you may not have necessarily a lot of time to peruse NHL.com as much. I rely on the Game Center app for my phone. And it seemed like every time I looked at my Game Center app as far as the schedule for that night, Winnipeg was at home. And I just kept saying to myself, God, are they ever going to play a road game? I know they had a long stretch earlier. So are they ever going to play a road game this month? So I looked it up last night. They had 14 games, like I said, in the month, and 12 of them were at home. 12 home games. To their credit, they made hay on them. As I said, I think they won 9 of those games. Of course, I think they won one of those on the road. But 12 home games in the month, that's one of the big reasons the Winnipeg Jets are 4 points behind the Panthers as we speak about this. The good news is that they're going to have to see some road action coming up in the next couple of months. And including last night, they are now 5-9-4 on the road, including the 7-3 thrashing at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens last night. So looking at the Panthers' first half of the season, if you will, I know it's only been 39 games and not 41. They are first in the Southeast Division, obviously. They are third in the conference by virtue of being a division leader. But overall in the league, with their 47 points, is good enough for ninth. Now, think about that a year ago. If you would have looked back a year ago at this time, the Panthers were probably hovering around 25, maybe worse. They are ninth in the league right now. Some of the teams that are ahead of, they're ahead of the San Jose Sharks, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the free-spending Buffalo Sabres, who are way, way down in the standings. They've played a little bit better as of late, but think about that for a second. And that really puts into perspective how well that not only that Dale Talon did assembling this team, but how well Kevin Dineen, Gordon Murphy, and Craig Ramsey have really coached this team. A lot of new pieces. Of course, that's been said ad infinitum, so I'm not going to go into that too much, but you really have to be impressed with that. They're finally starting to get some recognition around the league. They're getting some recognition up in Canada, maybe not as much as they are here. And at the last check, I think the TV attendances, the TV ratings were up 100% from where they were a year ago. Not saying a whole lot, the ratings were bad for last season, but it seems that the Panthers are getting the attention of the community once again. So we can only hope that that continues in 2012. The road ahead is pretty tough, you know, but they're going to get some guys back from injuries. And the last note, you know, we talk a lot about junior players on here. We talked about him in the last couple of podcasts, talking about the World Junior Championships. One guy who's a Panther prospect who didn't make the American team, I just wanted to give him some props in the podcast. Josh Burkholz of the Everett Silvertips of the Western Hockey League had a hat trick last night, and he now has a goal total of 17 goals in 34 games. If you've ever seen Josh at the rookie camps, He seems to do really well in those. I'm just waiting for him to make a breakthrough when the big guys are in camp. So, Josh Burkholz, you're my last bit of Inside the Numbers. Nice hat trick. That is Inside the Numbers.
Thanks, Dave, for your insightful look at the Florida Panthers through numerical propositions. And now we're going to go to an interview that we had a few minutes to sit down and talk to the creator of the term rat trick, Scott Mellenby. All right, and joining us now on Rat Trick Radio is the famous creator of the site himself, Scott Mellenby, the inventor of the Rat Trick. Thanks for joining the program, Scott.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's hard to believe that the Rats are back this year. It's great. It's good to see you, and it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Now, Scott, you know, we've all heard the different versions of the rat story, but why don't you tell us, you know, exactly what happened that fateful day in the locker room?
Well, it was our home opener. I believe it was 95. Well, it was the 95-96 season. Obviously, it was going to the finals that year. And we had lost our first game in New Jersey. We had come home, and this was our first game at the arena for that season. And before the game, anyone who had been at the arena down underneath knows we had a little our room was something that had been thrown up, drywalled up when we first went in as a tenant there. And it wasn't a real big room, but it was a long, narrow hallway that led down and into our dressing room. And we were just about ready to go out for opening night where you have introductions and stuff. And one of the trainers, I think it was Scott Tinkler, yelled, there's a rat in the room. And this rat came running down the hall and into our dressing room. It was a kind of a small squared off room, and started darting around. And some of us were, so I used to have a routine where I would stand up and then put my stick down on my knees, kind of like I was at a face off, and rock back and forth for about a minute before we went out. We had a clock in our room. And so the rat came in and started darting all over the place. I think it was as scared or as freaked out as we were. A couple of guys I remember were jumping up onto the benches because they were, it looked like little girls jumping up there. But all of a sudden, the rat just kind of stopped on the far side of the room and just made a beeline straight for me. And I think more in self-defense, I one-timed it, probably the best one-timer in my career. And it flew about 15 feet, hit the wall, and was dead there on the spot. And I remember showing a couple of my teammates when we were going out to start the game that I had a couple of pieces of like rat hair still stuck on the tape of my stick. And anyways, I got two goals that night, and John Bembeesbrook said to the media after that I got a rat trick because I had two goals and killed a rat, and it kind of snowballed from there.
Well, and it's pretty crazy to see the response. I mean, just the other night when the Florida Panthers defeated the Montreal Canadiens, to see just the showers of rats coming back. Is that exciting for you as someone who's, you know, now you're with the Blues and all of that, but looking back and seeing that you left a legacy here in Florida?
Oh yeah, it's very special. You know, I think for all of us that were there at that time and helped create hockey in South Florida, you know, we started out as the most successful expansion franchise in the history of sports, not even just hockey. So there's a lot of pride that runs through the players that were around the early years in Florida, almost winning a cup in year three. So, you know, I think for all of us that were there, having started out such proud way, it's been real tough for us over the last 10, 11 years to see the team go through such a long dry spell. I know from running into a few of the guys in my travels, you know, we're real excited to see the team. It's an exciting team they have there right now, and I think Dale Talon's going to do a great job. And, you know, I'd love to see them back in the playoffs because these things and these traditions that we started down there are ones that we want that legacy to live on. And the only way it will is for the franchise to not only survive but excel. And so I'm thrilled. I'm glad the fans are enjoying it again. I get great memories. And you know, I wish I had franchised it. I might have made a little money off it because all these shows and all these rats are getting thrown. I keep waiting for a check in the mail, but nothing's coming.
You know, they're actually selling the rats in the arena now.
I'm sure they are. So I might have to talk to a couple of people down there and find out where my check is. But you know, at the end of the day, it's great for the fans. It's great to be a part of it. And you have to be remembered for something. I guess I know a lot of people. Occasionally over the years, I still get people coming to me. And I had a great story. Just quickly, I had a guy come up to me a couple of years back and say, oh, you know, the greatest thing about that is I remember having my kids, we didn't go to the games, but we had rubber rats and we used to throw them at our TV set when the goals went in. So having kids of my own, you know, to think about that and think about people with young families having their kids and those memories of throwing rubber rats at a TV when we would score a goal is really sounds crazy, but it's nice to have had that impact and brought that kind of joy to people with their families in particular.
Scott, you know, looking at the Panthers now, obviously they've had quite a turnaround. They went 10 years without making a playoff appearance, and now they're at the top of the Southeast Division. You know, when you look at this team, what are some of the things that surprise you and impress you about the team right now?
Well, I got to be honest. I haven't watched a lot of the games this year. We've played them obviously in St. Louis. I know from the few games I have seen, what sticks out to me is that Dale Talon and the group down there, they brought in a group of players that they really obviously have an idea how they want to play, and that's with speed and skill. And I think if they're an entertaining team to watch, I think it's a team that for people to come out to the rink and follow the team, it's an easy team to get excited about. You know, back in our day down there in Florida at the start, we had a lot of success from playing a real defensive style, and that's the way we had to play. We were an expansion team where we didn't have a ton of high end talent. We were talented with our work ethic and our commitment to each other, but I think they got a real exciting group with guys like Campbell and Versteeg, and Fleischmann's coming there, and he's a real dynamic player for them. So, you know, I think they have an exciting group, and that's fun for the fans to see exciting hockey.
All right, Scott, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Okay, I appreciate it. Anytime. Thank you.
Want Florida Panthers in-depth information and analysis? Visit theRatTrick.com today. You'll find player interviews, system analysis, breaking news, and so much more. Go there today.
Good stuff from Scott. Frank, I think we have a lot to thank Scott for, wouldn't you say?
I think it was such a cool thing that you got him to come on and be on our show. And yeah, obviously the creator of the term Rat Trick, just absolutely perfect. I mean, there's really not much more I can say. I don't want to steal his thunder, but right on the money.
Good stuff, good stuff. Well, we are now going to go to a kind of beginning of the year segment, just to talk a little bit. But, you know, we talk about New Year resolutions or New Year's wishes. What is your guys' wishes for this year of Panthers hockey? What do you wish to see from this Florida Panthers team? Let's start with Paige. Paige, what is your New Year's wish for the Florida Panthers?
To keep everyone healthy. Please. I don't want any more injuries. That's my resolution. That's my main resolution. I mean, it's not like it hurt us too badly with everyone out, you know? I mean, we still did awesome, but we need people like Gotch and Sammy and Sturm and Uppy, and we need those people back. So that's my resolution, just to keep everyone safe and healthy on the Florida Panthers.
For sure, for sure. Dave, what's your resolution?
I don't know if it's a resolution more as it is a wish. I can't wait to get that phone call saying, David, hi, this is so-and-so with the Florida Panthers ticket office. We want to talk to you about playoff tickets. It has been too long. Since that has even been an option, with, of course, you know, the exception of a couple of years ago where we won't even get into that. But I can't wait to get that phone call. You know, that'll be my Christmas morning when we can finally go to a playoff game for the first time in, well, what, 10 years, 11 years, something like that. So that's really what I want out of this new year. I want the Florida Panthers to make the playoffs. I want every media outlet, especially up in Canada, be forced to discuss and break down Panther playoff games and who played well and who did what. So that is my New Year's wish. I want to go to a playoff game. I want to see the Panthers in the playoffs.
Frank, what about you?
Kind of hard to not pick one of these two, because obviously we need everybody healthy and we certainly want to make the playoffs, but I kind of have to go a little bit along with Dave here. I do want to make the playoffs. That is my wish, but more so because I want little Miss Rattrick to be able to attend her first playoff game. She's never experienced one, and with her going off to college next year, I think this is the year, and I think we've got the team. And I, you know, like you, Dave, I want that phone call or that email. Hey, it's time to get your playoff tickets. I want to be there. I want her to experience the atmosphere of what it's like. I mean, there's just a certain buzz in the air that you feel. And, you know, whether we how far we advance, nobody knows. It's nice if we can finish first round or get first in our division so we can get home ice advantage. But honestly, it's so nice to be talking about potentially making the playoffs in January with a legitimate lead over somebody instead of chasing someone. So I'm with Dave. Let's go to the playoffs.
Sounds good to me. I think my New Year's wish would just be that we continue to do well and that our prospects develop, that our prospects come up, and Jonathan Huberdeau and Quinton Howden and Jacob Markstrom are all going to be big parts of the team starting next season. And, of course, I want to make the playoffs, and I hope that we stay healthy as well. But here's to a 2012 that's full of exciting Panthers hockey, playoff victories, and great NHL fun. Well, thank you for listening to Rat Trick Radio. You can reach us at rattrickradio@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at Rat Trick Radio or one of our individual Twitter handles. Mine is at Josh Licht, which I know is an interesting name to spell, so I'll spell it for you. It's JOSHLUECHT as in Tom. Of course, you can reach Frank at his much easier to understand Twitter handle at The Rat Trick, or you can reach Dave at David Lasseter, or our guest host tonight if you want to talk to her about the Colorado Avalanche Red Wings rivalry and educate her, or if you want to talk about Canada or something like that.
I was young.
You can check her, you can check out her Twitter account at Paige, P-E-E-J, Lewis, L-E-W-I-Z, and interact with us. We love to hear your comments and concerns and everything else, and we'd love to read some of it on the show. Of course, continue to visit theratrick.com, which is the New York Times of Florida Panthers news and information. And you can visit that every day for new updates, ex-Panther factors, players analysis, in-depth looks at the Florida Panthers team, and interviews with the players and the rest of the organization, as well as all sorts of fun things we're going to have going on. We're going to have some road watch parties coming up here in the near future. We're going to do another live podcast. We have some contests coming up. Should be a great year for 2012. And, guys, you got any closing thoughts, Frank?
Yeah, I'd like to see a successful January. We rack up some points before the All-Star break. At the same time, get everybody healthy. And I am looking forward to John Madden in a Panther sweater.
For sure, for sure. Dave, you got any closing thoughts?
Big month ahead, all against tough teams, all teams that are playoff contenders. And if they go through this month and they look impressive and that people still don't want to give the Florida Panthers some respect, I'm going to everybody's house door to door and I'm going to give them a Kopechki right in the side of the jaw.
I like that. Can we call that the one hit a Kopechki from now on? That'd be great.
I'm officially calling that a Kopechki.
Nice, nice. Paige, I'm sure you want to Kopechki me in the face, but what are your closing thoughts?
Well, Dave, that was a little rude, and I liked that. I liked that a lot. And, yeah, I do. Okay, I'm going to back myself up right now. I did, of course, when I was little. I was 5 years old when Detroit and Colorado were, like, rivals. So, mind you, they're not anymore, and I'm not going to say no one cares about Colorado because Josh will Kopechki me in the face. But, you know, but I do, all in all, want the Florida Panthers to do so well. I really hope we take the lead in this game. I know New York just tied it up, but I wish the best for us and upcoming games, including Vancouver and Pittsburgh. And I hope everyone has a safe and happy New Year.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Frank.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is not endorsed by the National Hockey League or the Florida Panthers. All names, players' names, descriptions, and accounts, etc., are the express property of the Florida Panthers, Sunrise Sports and Entertainment, and the National Hockey League, or their respective copyright holders. All other content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Fansided LLC and therattrick.com. For more information, visit Fansided.com.
Thanks for listening to Rat Trick Radio. Please drive home safely.